Narvaez Insurance Services brings you 40 years of combined experience to protect small businesses. As an independent brokerage, Narvaez Insurance Services selects the most appropriate coverage for the best value for any insurance need from different insurance carriers. Business liability, workers' comp, umbrella policies for maximum protection, and of course, auto, home, renter's insurance. Also offering DMV services for your title transfers and renewing registration. With Narvaez Insurance Services, you can avoid the long lines at the DMV. Contact Narvaez Insurance Services for a competitive quote by calling 707-927-3204. Give Bernie Narvaez a call at 707-927-3204.
Napa. Time for another edition of All Things Napa. I'm Lee W. Miller, and we are glad that you are here. We've got some special guests with some great information in store for you today. Something that you have never heard before. So we've got a big reveal today coming. How's that for a tease? And it has to do with our community, because that's what this show is all about. I am a full-time realtor when I'm not behind this microphone, but all the time, whether I'm behind the microphone or being a realtor or working in the community in any way, shape, or form, I am a serial networker. I love to connect businesses and people. I love to promote local and that people within our community patronize our fellow citizens. And so that's what this show is about. I welcome feedback and I welcome suggestions for guests on the show. Maybe you know a small business owner or a large business owner. That doesn't really matter. And you might want to pass along the word that they should join me on this show. And they can get in touch with me, or you can get in touch with me at 707-266-1585 or at leewmiller@gmail.com. So, coming up today, we have a member of the Napa Planning Commission, the Napa City Planning Commission, not the county. And we've got a local attorney. We've got the Napa Nugget. We've got an avid advocate for ending prostate cancer. And of course, we've got the listing of the week. We also have an event planner. We have the owner of Napa, a brand new Napa preschool. Actually, not all that brand new. Been open 2 years, 1 year. So stay tuned for all of that. And you might think, well, how could we possibly have all of that in one show? Well, just stick around and you will find out. So, you know, it's all about local, right? We want to support local businesses. So I needed new golf shoes. I still need new golf shoes. And all day Sunday, I looked and looked and looked and tried to find where I could buy golf shoes locally. And the internet says that there's all kinds of golf shops in Napa. They're all shut down. And part of my problem in buying any shoes is I walk in and say, what do you got in a size 13? And they throw a couple boxes at me. And if I don't like them, then I can't buy local from there. So anyway, putting the word out there, there's no place to buy golf shoes in Napa, at least a size 13. So if you're thinking about opening a business and want to sell golf apparel, maybe that's something for you. Or maybe I just missed it and you know where I can go buy some golf shoes. Okay, it's time for the Real Estate Minute, and that's because I am a full-time realtor, and I welcome you to contact me about anything real estate related, but we do apply this one little minute during the show, and I am taking the 1 minute here to talk about Assembly Bill 1482. This is a bill that discourages the creation of rental housing and doesn't address our real problem, which is lack of supply. And the California Association of Realtors opposes Assembly Bill 1482 because in their discussions, CAR, that's California Association of Realtors, CAR had conversations with the author of the bill and kind of came to some agreement on some different language that would amend 1482 to something that CAR would support. And then when it came out, lo and behold, that language was not there. And so 1482 is really equivalent to statewide rent control, and we know that the voters overwhelmingly opposed statewide rent control when they defeated Prop 10 last fall. So I urge you to contact Assembly Member Cecilia Aguiar-Curry and tell her to please vote no on Assembly Bill 1482. And you can reach our Assembly Member at 224-0440. And if you forget that number, just call me at 266-1585. And let's get together for a glass of wine or whatever. And I will give you that information. And we can even talk about the bill if you disagree with me. All right. Just before we bring on our first guest, I do want to run through the Napa nugget here real quick. And then we will be right back with Alex Myers. And the Napa nugget today is, when the flood project design began more than 20 years ago, the Army Corps of Engineers concluded that it simply wasn't feasible to incorporate any sort of a riverwalk in the area. And the area meaning from Basalt Restaurant at 3rd Main south down to Angel and Napa River Inn. And despite all the proverbial king's men and all the king's horses and whatnot, they said that that just couldn't possibly be done, that the businesses would be directly on top of the flood wall overlooking the river below and no pedestrian area except the sidewalk out on Main Street. And fortunately, there was an individual who didn't accept that mandate. This gentleman decided to spend his own money and hire a different engineering group to evaluate the project and see if there might possibly be some alternative solution. And lo and behold, $75,000 later, and fortunately not too late for the project, the Army Corps of Engineers was convinced that their assessment was in fact flawed, leading them to acquiesce and change their plan. And that is why we have such a beautiful, inviting riverwalk today. And if you were not aware, hopefully you know where the Napa Riverfront is. But that set in motion the enormous transformation to what we enjoy today in downtown. And you may ask, you may wonder, who was this man with this vision and the gumption to buck big government and spend his own money? Well, that would be Harry Price. May Harry rest in peace. He is the reason that we do have that beautiful riverwalk. And that is your Napa nugget for the day. So without further ado, let's bring on our first guest. Hey, Alex, how are you?
Hey, good morning, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Hey, my pleasure. So we're going to tease the audience just a little bit longer and not do the big reveal yet, because we want them to get to know you first. And I know you've been on the radio and you've been active in the community before, so there's probably listeners that already do know you. But for those that don't know you, give us a little bit of background on your family.
Well, I'd be glad to. So my name is Alex Myers. I live here in the city of Napa. I was born here in Napa. And I'm a practicing attorney. I practice business and real estate law here in town. And I come from a family of attorneys. My dad's a lawyer. My sister is a lawyer. My dad's wife is a lawyer. My sister's fiance is a lawyer. My wife is a lawyer.
And you have friends that are lawyers?
We don't have many friends.
I was going to make the lawyer joke, but okay, you did. You beat me to it.
Yeah, well, you know, so we come from this family of attorneys, and my father and I practice together, and so that's what we do as a day job. And then my wife and I co-own a preschool here in town, which is what we spend our free time working on, and that's really our passion project, and that's called Little Ivy Preschool, and that's in Napa on Pine Street near Napa Christian School.
Very nice, very nice. So as an attorney, what is your area of focus?
So our firm's a boutique firm. We practice business transactional law. And within that, I practice primarily in the real estate arena, helping business owners with their leases and purchasing and selling commercial property or purchasing and selling their business with a property element. So we work with local businesses, many of which you'd be very familiar with, restaurants, wineries, entertainment companies, things of that nature. And we help them with all their issues among themselves and other businesses with contracts and just getting business to happen locally. And they're all local businesses that we work with.
Well, that makes you all the more of a perfect guest for today on this show. So let's back up a minute. You said that your wife is an attorney as well?
Yeah, my wife is an attorney. She's a family law attorney. She works at the law firm Coombs & Dunlap, which is Napa's oldest law firm here in town. That's on Coombs Street, right across from the library, in a beautiful Victorian.
Yeah.
It's a really cool building. And she's actually a Florida native. She moved out here to California to go to college. That's where we met. And she came up to Napa with me when we were thinking about getting married. And she really hit the ground running.
So talk about when you proposed.
I see where this is going.
Oh, man. I had to give him multiple hints.
Well, yeah, I guess I'm not quick on the uptake. I proposed to my wife in, I believe it was April of 2012 or 13. Boy, she's going to.
The proposal doesn't matter, as long as you remember the wedding day.
Well, so the reason Lee's getting at this is because my proposal was directly spurred by his encouragement. He and Kelly Norris, who are friends of mine, we were golfing together and talking about relationships and proposals, and they were giving me a pretty hard time about why I wasn't married yet to this wonderful woman who I'd been in a relationship with for so long.
Wasn't it like 7-8 years or something?
It was close to that.
Right. Yeah. Let's not worry about the details, but it was longer than the average courtship.
It was long enough.
For sure. And the funny part about that, I mean, if that's not crazy enough, is we pretty much had just met like pretty much that day or maybe a week or two before. Mm-hmm. We didn't really know each other very well. And after the golf, we were sitting there having a beer and you started talking about how long you've been dating her. And we just had no filter. And we're like, dude, what are you doing? You're going to lose her. Get off your butt and ask her to marry you. And he just kind of looked at us like, oh, I guess you guys are right. So
that might be a verbatim quote from that evening.
Right. Well, it's, you know, seldom that I have that kind of influence in people's romantic lives. So I'm all about connecting businesses. I'm not. Mm-hmm. I'm a matchmaker for business, not necessarily for romance. So I just had to throw that in there. And that wasn't a pat on the back for me or Kelly as much as I just thought it was an interesting tidbit. So
you know what? It's a special story that we share.
You know, I don't know if your wife's ever thanked us.
You know, she should send you a bouquet.
Yeah. Something. Yeah. Okay. So, but we digress. All right. So real estate, that's the main focus. And tell us a little bit about, you say on your free time, you also own and run a preschool.
Well, yeah, and the free time that we used to have, right?
Right.
You know what? When we were expecting our first child after we had been married, we were looking around for a preschool for our son, and we were just, there were a lot of options, but none were quite right for us. And there are very good preschools in town, but we were looking for just something special that we wanted to feel comfortable enrolling our son in. And we hadn't found it, and we had encountered a gentleman who owned a child care center in town who was looking to transition out of it. And he mentored us for some time, and we were going to take over his operating child care center here in Napa until he had a change of heart and got a little bit of cold feet at the end. But by then, we had been training with him and learning how a child care center would and could run in a way that we would be happy and comfortable with. So we decided to go at it on our own. And we spent about a year looking for the appropriate site. We found a beautiful location on the campus of Napa Christian School where they have a mini farm with horses and goats, and they have almost 5 acres of open fields. So we have our separate building and our separate play area there on Pine Street. And we opened Little Ivy Preschool in September of last year. So we've been open for 1 year and 1 week. We have over 30 little ones enrolled. We have a full-time staff of six teachers and aides. And our director, Miss Sam, is just wonderful. The families love her so much, and she takes such good care of the children. And we're really proud of the preschool. So that's our passion project.
Good for you. Good for you. I love how you say Miss Sam, because that's preschool speak.
That, right? Yes. Miss Sam is our director, and that's preschool lingo. Her name is Samantha.
I figured that. It's also my grandson's name, but that, again, I digress. Let's see. Tell us, first of all, I wanted to make the point that what a great opportunity that you had to be mentored and educate on with someone at no charge, because you were going to be taking over and acquiring that preschool. And I'm sure that has added such value to how you do things going forward.
Well, it did, you know, because although I counsel businesses in my day-to-day job and business, childcare is such a specific arena, you know, and there are so many other considerations to take into account other than running an enterprise that can sustain itself and successfully operate. You have all the considerations of the educational component and the well-being of the children and their comfort. And the comfort of families, really, because it's not just the kids, you know, it's the parents as well. The moms and the dads and the grandmas and the grandpas have to be comfortable and know that their children are in good hands. And otherwise, they'll spend their whole day fretting about what's going on with their kiddos. So right. So that sort of mentoring from a 25-year veteran of the industry was really invaluable. And then, again, Miss Sam and our staff, Miss Nadine and Miss Princess and Heather, they're wonderful, and they're consummate professionals, and they have this almost Jedi mind control over the children. It's incredible. If you've ever tried to get a dozen three-year-olds to line up, you know that. I mean, you probably never tried it, because it'd be a futile exercise.
Right. No, it's tough enough just to control my 5 and 8 year old grandchildren.
Exactly, and they have an incredible. Incredible way with the children of helping them to learn how to behave in a classroom and how to behave socially and teach them.
And incredible patience too, that probably all of us could learn from. Maybe we should all go see Miss Sam like once or twice a year and have her try and through osmosis or something, try and instill that patience in all of us.
Miss Sam's adult preschool.
Yeah. should we do the big reveal now before we go on?
Sure. I don't know how big of a reveal it is.
Oh, no, it's huge.
It's
huge.
Don't
downplay it.
You
don't
know
downplay
what?
It.
This is
you heard it here first, ladies and
breaking
gentlemen.
News.
This is breaking news. You know, the Register always says breaking news. And now KVON, All Things Napa, has breaking news from Alex Myers. And it is?
Well, next Thursday will be my final meeting on the City of Napa Planning Commission.
What?
Yeah. After 3 years, I've resigned because we bought a house outside the city limits. And, you know, the City of Napa Planning Commission is a commission that you have to be a resident of the city to serve on.
That's a crazy rule.
Isn't that weird? So although, you know, we're moving like 3 miles.
Oh, wow. Just outside.
Just outside. But
you could talk to people about annexing this, you know, that's what they normally do.
You know, there's a general plan amendment coming up. Right. I know all about that.
Yeah.
And so there will be a vacancy, not just a reappointment vacancy, but a vacant seat on the Planning Commission for appointment. So anyone who's interested in becoming civically involved should consider that.
And what kind of requirements are they looking for?
It's a good idea to have attended the Planning Commission meetings before. And to have had some experience in serving in a public role before, although I don't believe that's a criteria. My seat is not a design professional seat. I'm just a member of the public at large. So there are two design professional seats, and that would be right now I believe it's an architect and an artist in that Gordon Huther and Paul Kelly. But my seat is just an at-large seat. So almost anyone who's a citizen of Napa can apply.
Interesting. Of course, they won't have a law degree and all of the other things that you brought to the position, but...
Well, that's true. I am irreplaceable.
Right.
But they could have
they're probably just
going to
reduce the commission number by your seat and just call it good, right?
Maybe put a plaque up where my
right,
seat was.
Right.
I don't
An
think so.
An inflatable or a bronze Alex in a chair for every meeting. So, well, that is a big reveal. We appreciate you sharing that on... our show. So you choose the occupation, whether it be your law or the preschool or what have you. Tell us a story about a success that you had.
You know, in my business, success is relative because oftentimes folks are in a bind and they need an attorney to help them get out of a position. But when we do have a measurable, identifiable success, other than, you know, a settlement dollar amount, it's really it can be really fulfilling. So we had a client recently who was a small business owner of a business you probably have heard of, and they were in a dispute with their business partner, and the partner and my client could not get along. They weren't even on speaking terms, and the business was more or less starting to fail around them. And through my counsel to my client and going to mediation, we were able to help my client buy his partner's business out. And although he had been considering shutting down his business entirely and just moving out of town, he's now more successful than ever. The business is thriving. And, you know, I think that's directly a result of counsel guidance and careful consideration of not just the emotional part of getting in a dispute with someone, but the business decision of, you know, it may hurt to write a check to someone you don't like anymore.
Right. Right.
That's not a pleasant feeling, but think of the value in the long run that you're going to get. And now he realizes that absolutely. And so that business is just taking off.
That's a great story. Thank you for sharing that.
I wish I could give more detail.
Well, No. We don't want any more details because, you know, that's the whole client attorney privilege mm-hmm. thing. Yeah.
Yeah. Not make for a great radio.
So did you always know that you were going to be an attorney?
No, not at all. You know, I grew up here in town, and I went to Browns Valley Elementary School and Redwood Middle School and Vintage High School and Napa College. I ran the, you know, that's the gamut, I think.
Right.
And I thought I would maybe own a restaurant because that's kind of the businesses that I saw around town, or maybe be a veterinarian.
Even back then.
Yeah, even back then, absolutely.
Not that there were nearly as many back then, but...
There were still quite a few.
Okay.
Right.
Oh, that's right. You're not very old.
Depends on who you're measuring that against, right. I suppose. So, but no, I didn't think so. But in 2007, after I was graduating from college, I thought, you know, I should go and get a graduate degree while I'm still in the college mindset and not go into private practice, even though I was working in commercial real estate brokerage and those guys were, you know, making like $1 million a year in Los Angeles where I was working.
Wow.
I thought, wow, yeah, that sounds pretty good.
Back when $1 million was a lot of money.
Well, I still think it's quite a lot of money. Right, yeah. And so I decided to leave that job and go back into law school. And that was 2007, 2008. And 6 months into that experience, the 2008 economic collapse began. And before long, none of the guys that I had been working with that were making all that kind of money before even had jobs. So it was a really pretty good time to be in school. And I went to law school because I almost didn't know any other graduate type of school to go to because, you know, my family was lawyers. And that's the grad school you go to is law school.
Yeah.
And so it was almost lucky in its timing, but it has really worked out well in terms of, you know, the end result. Being able to be in practice locally and work with local businesses.
Right, yeah. Right. Okay, so we have just a little bit more time left. The question that I want to ask you, what are the biggest challenges in your industry, or what are what's something about your industry that few or not very many people would know? And if you're just joining us, this is Alex Myers, almost a former Planning Commission
almost
member.
A future former
exactly.
Planning Commissioner.
And if you don't know what I'm talking about, listen to the podcast.
You know, I'm going to talk about childcare for a minute because I think that's probably more relevant to many of the people here in town. And it's difficult in this environment for childcare businesses or nonprofits to get started and succeed. And part of that is because there are so many facilities requirements that are really important for the safety of the kids in terms of the number of interior square feet of the building per child and the number of exterior square feet of play area per child and the number of restrooms per child and the ratio restrictions on staff to children, which are critical for the safety of the kiddos when they're in your care. but they make for a high barrier to entry, and it's very difficult for, you know, maybe a preschool teacher who hopes to open her own or his own preschool someday to actually break that barrier and get into the field, because you have to find these facilities or build these facilities that are just right. And although we're privileged to have a facility that is really phenomenal with the amenities available to us, and we actually do staff about one third stronger than the state requires us to staff. So we have a lot more teachers to kids than we're required to
That's
do.
Great.
It's hard, you know, to you can't just say I'm gonna open a child care center and do it the next day, because there are almost no buildings that actually meet that requirement. And without a capital reserve, it's hard for anyone in the child care industry to break out on their own. So that's one of the reasons why there are very few infant care options in Napa. There are only a handful of infant care options, and we don't even offer infant care yet. But with what we've been able to do with our preschool at Little Ivy Preschool, we are now looking to hopefully start an infant care center that will help those families, because we've been able to sort of break through that barrier and overcome the initial hurdle of getting the doors open. And so now we're hoping that an infant care center might be in the near future for us.
That sounds great. That sounds wonderful. And yes, we do need that here. Tell our listeners how they can reach out to Ivy Preschool and or Alex Meyer's attorney.
Sure. The phone number at Little Ivy Preschool is 707-955-5695. There are availabilities for enrollment now. We do a rolling enrollment. It's not just for the beginning of the school year, and we have flexible schedules. So calling 955-5695 is a great way. We can schedule a tour any day of the week on a weekday. And that email is littleivynapa@gmail.com. And you can reach me at my office if you have any general questions about law or the preschool, or just want to chat about what's going on in town, at 707-257-1185.
And if you missed all of that and couldn't write that quickly, or you're still looking for that pen, just give me a call at 266-1585, and I will put you in touch with Ivy Preschool, Little Ivy Preschool, or Alex, or what have you.